at all levels. And this is a process, a very complex process. This is precisely what we have been discussing. How to not to give blueprints and say to the people you should do this and that, as unfortunately the leaders of the world today are doing in most cases, including the blueprint of the World Bank or IMF or I don't know whom, etc. No, not a blueprint for all, but what are the ways and means to move into this direction of having sovereign, national, popular and democratic project, which would create the conditions for a global. We are not moving out of globalization. We are not going to leave the planet to another planet. No, we are bound to live together, but to live together not only with some degree of respect to one another, of course, but we need more than that. We need to have our relations, whether economic relations of trade, of finance, and so on, whether political relations, including the security and military dimensions of it, whether cultural relations, in order to construct together a universal higher stage of civilization, but which is not just exporting the American or the Western, and you American have the Western pattern, you have inherited it from Europe and you know it, as the exclusive response to the challenge. Thank you.
Samir Amin, we want to thank you for being with us and welcome you for the first time to Democracy Now!, speaking to us from Tunis, Tunisia, Egyptian political economist, renowned scholar, activist, dissident, director of the Third World Forum in Dakar, Senegal. His most recent book, Capitalism in the Age of Globalization. That does it for the show. A very special happy birthday to Nermeen Sheikh, who is in Tunis, Tunisia, for the World Social Forum.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for Positively Revolting right after this.
Control your newscasts. The KBOO Evening News provides breaking news about local issues, from water fluoridation to immigration raids. We bring you daily coverage of what's going on in Portland, Cascadia, and around the world. Tune in every weekday at 5 for the KBOO Evening News on KBOO, your community radio station.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
Good morning, good morning. The time is 3 minutes after 8 o'clock, and you are listening to your very own community radio station, KBOO. This is Positively Revolting, and I'm Ani.
And I'm Lynn.
And this morning, We are Positively Revolting as usual. You know it. In fact, I believe somewhere near apoplectic,
I know apoplectic fits in there.
As usual. We have no rant control this morning as we turn our attention to Christian extremism. Apparently,
as pertains to the very First Amendment of the Constitution.
Indeed. Well, it's apparently on the rise this, in the country today. You know, theocracy.
A surprise to none of you. Many of you are not surprised.
Indeed. Okay. Before we fully get into that, for those of you who might not remember that obscure document known as the Bill of Rights, allow me to refresh you. Amendment 1 plainly states, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and petition the government for a redress of grievances. I'm going to go ahead with that first line again. That's the no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Given that a recent opinion poll conducted by Public Policy Polling states that the majority of Republican primary voters favor the establishment of Christianity as the religion of this country, ignoring that most primary constitutional right and making the top of my head explode.
Like it had, I thought it'd been off for a long time.
And yet, the website Think Progress notes that in an opinion poll that was conducted last month, 57% of these voters support establishing Christianity as the national religion. The First Amendment to the United States Constitution provides that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, but that apparently is not so important to these 57% of Republican primary voters polled by public opinion, public policy polling. Only 30% of Republican voters believe that Congress should not make a law respecting an establishment of religion, according to the poll. That same poll also found that 74% of the GOP primary voters had a favorable opinion of former President George W. Bush. Two-thirds, that would be 66%, do not believe in global warming. And the plurality, that's about 49%, don't believe in evolution. Welcome to America today.
I wonder what the percentage of that is within the entire population. That would be fun to get those.
It would be fun to get those statistics, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yep. So, cause science? Nah. I'm moving on to yet another thing that will make perhaps even the top of your head explode. In other recent events, Arizona State Senator Sylvia Allen, Republican of Snowflake, Arizona, thinks that mandating church attendance is a good idea. She brought it up during a committee meeting while lawmakers were debating a gun bill and not religion at all. What was Allen thinking? Well, as reported by KPHO in Phoenix, Allen explained that without a moral rebirth in the country, more people feel the need to carry a weapon. She said, and I quote, "I believe what's happening to our country is that there's a moral erosion of the soul of America." End quote. Mandating church attendance is a way to find morality, apparently.
What church?
Good question. And I gotta say, in the, 1800 year history of the Christian faith as we know it, they're really good. They're really good at pointing fingers at the other practitioners of different stripes of Christianity and saying they're not really it. So what church indeed? Where would that stop?
Well,
do we suddenly all have to go to, the Foursquare church? Or would some of us still be allowed to be papists? Okay, so I'm going to go on. Last month, Reuters reported that members of a county Republican party in Idaho took up a measure that would declare Idaho to be a Christian state to reinforce what the proposal calls Judeo-Christian bedrock of the founding of the U.S. That measure failed, thank all gods, and none at all. Whatever you want to believe, because that's, in fact, what that First Amendment is stating. That measure failed with two-thirds voting no, but it still gives one pause for thought. The proposal sought to declare that Idaho be formally, this is a quote, formally and specifically declared a Christian state. Guided by Judeo-Christian faith reflected in the U.S. Declaration of Independence, where all authority and power is attributed to God. The measure argued that the Christian faith is under strident attack in the U.S. and cites as evidence the absence of Christian traditions and symbols in public institutions. Absence of Christian symbols means under attack. Strident attack at that. I want to talk about strident attack. I worked at an abortion clinic. I'll tell you about strident attack. In January in Louisiana,
the Iraqis and Afghanis can tell you about strident attack.
Strident attacks. Yeah, that's not having your religion promoted.
People of color can talk to you about strident attack.
Okay. In January in Louisiana, there was a training event to mobilize 1,000 pastors to run for public office. Because, according to the organizer, this is our appointed time of God. The hell? And then there's Indiana. Lynn, over to you.
Gary, Indiana.
This is close to your home territory. I'm just going to...
I know, but I hardly ever ventured into Indiana. And here's one reason why. Their governor... Well, I guess the legislature passed Senate Bill 101 that prohibits state or local governments from substantially burdening a person's ability to exercise their religion, unless the government can show that it has a compelling interest and that the action is the least restrictive means of achieving it. Boy, that is just so ripe for legal interpretation right there. The governor, what is his name? Mike Pence, said he would never do anything that was, this is not discriminatory, and he would veto anything that is discriminatory. I would just like to define discriminate. It is a verb used without object, discriminating, to make a distinction. This is from dictionary.com, so you can throw it out or whatever if you don't like the definition, but works for me. To make a distinction in favor or against of a person or thing on the basis of the group, class, or category to which the person or thing belongs, rather than according to the actual merit. Show partiality. Here's our example. The new law discriminates against foreigners. He discriminates in favor of his relatives. Those are little examples. Mike, you might want to check those out. This is part and parcel of this bizarro land use of English, of definitions. There's, you know, the famous line in The Princess Bride, I do not think this means what he think it means.
There's something going on. I mean, well, obviously...
It's been going on since the Reagan administration, the doublespeak.
Indeed.
And because this is called the Religious Freedom Act.
Doublespeak, indeed. Yes, it's... one of those things that is adding to this milieu of kind of feeling like a theocracy is in fact on the rise in this country. And I think it's ironic, possibly, just like ironic is at a danger level, as we have these same people pointing fingers and saying we must make war on this other part of the world because they want a theocracy. I'm just not getting it. And that's why we've started following the hashtag Christian Taliban. there's also a hashtag theocracy. There are too many stories to go through in an hour of things that have been proposed in state legislations or mega churches or... nationally over the last couple of months. The last time I really noticed a strong coalition of, or I guess coalescence of extremism in the Christians, it's been 10, 15 years. It really was in the early days of George W. that Theocracy Watch formed and really started to track lots of these things. There hasn't been a lot of activity over the last couple of years. I don't know. Maybe we were distracted. Maybe we were paying attention to one of the other myriad things that makes the top of one's head explode if you're a thinking person. But it certainly is on the rise now. It's noticeable. We must be aware. We must keep each other informed. And we have to talk about this stuff. And the fact that, really, if you want to undermine, perhaps annihilate, the First Amendment, the primary amendment of the Constitution, what America are you actually wanting to see? What was it about this country that you liked? What? Explain me that, because I don't get it. And we invite your calls, dear listeners, at 503-231-8187. As I said, Lynn and I, we have no rant control this morning. We've read way too much. And we want to share that with you. And in fact, would love it if you could share with us as well. What have you noticed in this area? What are your comments this morning? We want to hear your thoughts and encourage, what do we call that? Oh, you know, public discussion. And actually...
And critical thinking.
Actually, critical thinking. Yes, that would be good too. 503-231-8187. You can also follow us on Facebook. You can find us there, Positively Revolting, on Facebook.com. You can also follow us in the Twitterverse at Positive Revolt.
You know, there's another article that... But first... In truth, I actually posted it already on our Facebook page. And I think Tom Hartman had something to do with that. And, you know, old Tom, some things, sometimes he drives me crazy, but he loves to talk about history, something that is often forgotten. And he's doing things that we were talking about, the similarity of course, ISIS to what the American, and this article is about the American Taliban, which is like, you know, whenever you are fundamentally anything, there is no room for anyone else. And all this, to me, is based on fear. People are afraid they are losing power, and they see that as the other, the person who is not like them, instead of the corporate takeover of America, the fact that they will never earn more money than they're earning now, that they will be losing their jobs soon. All the things that are actually happening are not something that some folks want to think about. And one of the reasons why is because they are hit over the head continually. If you listen to cable news, or if you keep, you know, there's a lot of folks that keep phone news on their on the TV the whole time. Not for the most part cable listeners. But there is this tsunami of misinformation. You have to dig out your own information these days if you want to find out what is actually going on, and be very careful about the doublespeak with what just. I don't know why that part in particular blows my head off, like the religious.
Because you've read 1984 and you know what doublespeak means.
Okay. Yeah. As a matter of fact,
it's never good. As it turns out,
we read that in school. Back in my day. Imagine that.
I wonder if that's still... If you're a teacher or, in fact, a high school student, do let us know if that's still a part of the curriculum. I'd be curious.
But folks are scared. Folks are anxious. And I guess it's easier to try to get everybody to do what you're doing. But there is no safety in that either.
It's insane.
There's always a little risk in life, and letting someone else use their brain, I guess, is part
freely.
Of it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And perhaps disagree about something like where their own spirituality. Oh my gosh. Which is an internal thing, and
that's why, in fact, that part of the Constitution exists, right? It is a rather personal experience.
Well, also because they started out with the Puritans,
yes.
Who, by the way, the British were happy to see the back of.
Indeed.
Who came over to Massachusetts. Acted awfully like the Taliban, awfully like ISIS. In fact, they drove Benjamin Franklin out of Massachusetts. Between 1620 and 1640, nearly 20,000 English Puritans left the vice they faced in England behind. And of course, there was Mr. Oliver Cromwell, a strict Puritan who got rid of the Stuarts, don't you know? Not single-handedly, of course. I wouldn't want to give him that
also,
much power.
The New Model Army got rid of the diggers, which is a
right.
Whole nother section of our history. Let's go ahead and take Larry for a very quick comment. Good morning, Larry. You're on the air.
Hi, Larry.
Good morning.
Know that We've been having contentious public hearings with the three commissioners about the local dump.
Larry, can you start over again? I think we missed the first half of your sentence there.
Okay. I'm calling from Yamhill County, and just to let you know that we have had several contentious public hearings with the county commissioners, three of them, about the local dump. And these new commissioners who were just recently elected are...
Now, what about the dump? What is the issue?
Well, 70% of the garbage coming to the Yamhill County dump comes from Portland. And so waste management, that's a whole different story. But the point is that we've got three Tea Party commissioners, and they have recently been starting off public hearings, praying to God, bringing ministers in, and invoking...
To the dump?
No, this is at the public hearing.
Okay, sorry. I had to go through this.
Right, right. But the thing is that the... Supreme Court, I guess the Supreme Court of Oregon has said it's okay to have invocations before public hearings. This is in a recent decision the last couple of years. So I was thinking, well, maybe we need to try to get a medicine man in there or,
a
Wiccan guy or a Buddhist, because they keep bringing in a Baptist minister and... I mean, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, Larry, you're making a good point. This is actually, it's an argument that I do like to make to folks who swear that there's nothing that's contradictory around having public prayer as the part of an open public legislative session. This happens in Salem. The last time I went down to a lobby day in Salem, I was... Okay, yeah, stunned and horrified to find out that I had to sit through a Christian prayer.
Yeah.
I am not a Christian. I have not been a Christian since I was 11 years old. I have a very profound relationship with my deities.
Right, right.
And that is mine and theirs, right? It's not to do with the legislation. It's not to do with anyone else's spirituality. I support everyone's own individual path to their whatevers.
Yep.
That's cool. Yeah. But I don't want to have to sit through somebody else's prayer in order to access my public officials.
But how do you fight it when the state judicial system has said it's okay?
Yeah, it's mind-blowing to me.
Yep.
It is flying in the face of the First Amendment, and that has gone on since, generations now.
Yeah.
I don't know if it has always happened. There was actually sort of a period of rationality in the early 20th century from what I read. When we got into McCarthyism, we started inserting God back into a whole lot of things.
And the Pledge of Allegiance, which we used to have to say before the day started at school.
That's what I was thinking. Actually, God got added back in there put in the first place. I need to do a little more history research. Anyway, thank you very much,
Larry.
Right. Very good point. Yep. All right. So it is 8:22 in the morning. You are listening to your community radio station. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And we are a little beyond Ananda. We are a little apoplectic with all of the information that we have been looking at around attempts to really move this country into a theocratic state.
Should we give Anne a chance for her quick comment?
Let's do that. 503-231-8187 if you want to join us this morning. Good morning, Anne.
Hi. I just want to say that everything you've been saying is making my head hurt.
I'm sorry and I'm glad.
All at the same time. It's our jobs.
It's
you understand.
Really, really bad news. And my comment is, as a former evangelical, I can tell you that it's against their own best interest to try to make an official religion in this country.
Yeah.
Every time a religion becomes the official religion of the state, it becomes even more oppressive.
Absolutely.
Well, doesn't that seem to be the point? Can I just ask you what made you change your mind about being evangelical?
I got tired of being treated like a second-class citizen in a patriarchal structure as a single woman.
Yeah.
That was pretty much
good
it.
Good on you.
Yeah, and you are absolutely right. Of course, that when one starts to enforce any religion, it is oppressive. I mean, that is sort of by its nature. And as soon as one starts to step outside the line of the official doctrine of that particular sect of that particular faith, then there becomes, well, issues, right? I mean, look at all the theocracies we've left behind. Look at theocracies that exist today that we criticize. And yet, that there's a strong plurality of people in this nation that seem to feel like this is the way to go. And again, I kind of, you know, I boggle at the idea of if they would even agree on what their religion says if you put all of these theocratic pushers into one room and tried to make them sort it out.
Exactly. Yeah. That's all I had to say.
Hey, thanks, Anne. Thanks very much for your call.
Hope your head feels better.
Yes. Take 2 aspirin and go raise hell. 503-231-8187, the number to call this morning. Here's a little ditty from back in January of this year. Protesters surround a conference put on by Texas Muslims, yelling that they are not Americans. Protesters upset that this is from a Raw story. Protesters upset that a Muslim group was holding a conference at a Texas conference center owned by a local school district showed up last night waving flags and signs telling attendees to go home and take Obama with you. The conference was actually entitled Stand with the Prophet Against Terror and Hate. It was being put on as a fundraiser for a Chicago-based Islamic group, Sound Vision, and approximately 500 attendees were expected, according to reports by NBC. Holding signs saying, "You are not Americans, do not fly our flag," protesters complained that the Garland Independent School District allowed this group to use the facility. "We pay our taxes to that school and we don't want them here," one woman, whose name is Lavona Martindale, said. Another protester, Greg McKinley, said, "We're here to stand up for the American way of life from a faction of people who are trying to destroy us. If they want to live their life like the Middle East, they can go back to the Middle East." I just want to note that a spokesperson for the school district said that they do not discriminate against facility renters based upon their religion. You know, bringing up that First Amendment freedom sort of thing. And again, I ask you, what America are these Christian extremists fighting for? What America was that? Because I don't think that's the America I learned about my civics book. I'm just asking. 503-231-8187, the number to call.
Well, see, part of the, of course, about America, of course, we came in and completely
annihilated
the people that were already here. That's sort of a tradition.
That is.
And it's that what people tradition. Dream it to be. The American dream, which, of course, as George Carlin used to say, it's called that because you got to be asleep to believe it,
yeah.
Which is saying not great things about dreams. So this article of Tom Hartman's, it's interesting. He was talking about Republicans' 10th congressional district. They voted in Baptist. He was talking about how the guy was just running because it was 2014. But good old Jody Heist won. He is a right-wing radio talk show host, and we know we don't need more of them. He wants it's called Now or Never, a call to reclaim America. Where it's gone, I don't know. But he was, of course, wants America that is a distinctly Christian society. And he wants, of course, the usual stuff, ban abortion, ban same-sex marriage, repeat hate crime laws, and expose radical Islam for the clear and present danger that it is. That part
is so hypocritical as to make one's head explode.
I know.
Again,
women should have to receive permission from their husbands before running for political office. If the woman's within the authority of her husband, I don't see a problem, he says.
Well, and that's special.
That makes me feel better.
I just got to say, religious extremists, Christian, Muslim, Jews, religious extremists, far right, conservative, religious extremists have more in common with each other than they do with the rest of the planet. And I think that really we need to put all of those religious extremists together in a little plastic bubble. And they can go live happily ever after in their own biodome, where they can't hurt the rest of us. That's my thought this morning, and I would like to say good morning to Ted. Good morning, Ted. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
I love this topic, but only because it drives me crazy. I've got a couple of things. I think these fundamentalists ought to be asked the question and forced to answer, how would they feel living under a Muslim government?
Or a Wiccan government.
They've already said that they would find that abhorrent. That's pretty much in every article that I read.
What would a Wiccan government look like? Anyway.
Second of all, I wonder if you ladies have any idea where this notion that the Constitution does not prohibit the government from enacting laws that are supportive of religion. I have several relatives and people that I've talked to about this that says, well, the Christian founders, they wouldn't have never done anything like that.
And they were deists. Tell them next time they were deists.
Not all of them.
Well, but many of them.
Thomas Jefferson was a deist. Franklin was something.
Franklin was a hedonist, I think.
Well, a Quaker, a deist, a hedonist. He was an interesting historical fella. That's what I'm going to say about Franklin.
Yeah, so where the notion that they were all Christians also, where the heck did that come from?
That's a good idea. So you guys don't know where they get this notion that the Constitution...
Oh, if you ever listen to Fox News, don't start
Or the Christian Broadcasting Network or many pastors throughout the land. I mean, history is not taught well. And big lies get repeated, right?
And when people get scared of change... they want to make up their own stuff. And I get that. I mean, you know, don't you have friends that this is part of what they're doing is making stuff up to feel better.
I can, just sort of to the note to end it on would be my rebuttal to anyone that would say that would just be recite the First Amendment over and over again. Ask them what part of that are they not quite getting?
Yeah, I used to carry around copies of that in my pocket, and I'd just hand that out to people when I would get that response, but I don't know how I got out of that mode. But thank you, ladies. Appreciate talking to you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks very much for your call this morning. Bye-bye. 503-231-8187. What do you have to say about this? Theocracy in America, for it or against it? Good morning, Harvey. You're on the air.
Hi, Lynn and Ani. Well, I have my two cents here. First of all, I welcome the other. I don't know, maybe I'm like strange, but I feel that variety is the spice of life. And if we were all the same, it would be oh so boring. And I feel that, in a sense, that people who are, you know, see the other as the other are spitting in the face of the creation. They love the creator, but they hate the creations of the creator,
right?
Which is all of us. And I say to people, if you want to see the other, if you really want to see the other, look in a mirror, because that's the way people see you. That's the way we see you, as the other. So I think we need a shift in consciousness here. And my feeling is it's nice to be nice. And I welcome the other. And the other has many gifts. I don't see the other as the enemy. The other has many gifts for me and for us. And once again, this is the true creation. The gift, the variety of life. So I'm going to go with the creation, and I welcome the other.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Thanks very much, Harvey.
Thank you.
A secure human being.
Right.
You have to be pretty scared and insecure to be that scared.
Who appreciates the beauty of, oh, you know, a billion facets on the jewel, right? Mm-hmm. Nice. Let's go ahead and talk to Brian. Good morning, Brian. You're on the air. Brian,
you need to turn
come
your
back
radio
away
down.
From your radio.
Turn your radio down.
Okay, Brian, we're letting you go. Good luck with that. We'll try you again in a minute. But there is a 40-second delay. So if, in fact, you are calling, please turn your radio down. Listen on your phone. 503-231-8187. The number to call. So there's really just about no end to it, unfortunately. I'm still kind of blown away by the plurality of Republican primary voters not believing in evolution. I'm, 49%.
It's just a theory.
After all. There's, oh my gosh, I've lost.
Sort of like gravity.
I've lost my notes and the article about a jawbone, a fossilized jawbone being denied its place in schools in Texas. I'll find that again here any second now. It's mind-blowing. Again, I love history. I love history. And as a student of history, one of my favorite periods was sort of the early medieval, okay, right? The whole thing about the Dark Ages was a turning towards theocracy and away from any science that had come before. That is, in fact, why they're called the Dark Ages. It is what, in fact, set medicine back hundreds of years.
Probably a thousand years.
Could be. You know, it is, in fact, why the plague was so devastating. And so many other things in European history. Dark Ages were not a time to try to bring back people. Science is okay. Science is good. I like science. Science gives us a nice basis on how to kind of objectively see the world. Now, I get science has been used for some bad ends. I get that there are some twisted scientists, and I don't think of science as a new religion. I think that there's plenty of room to hold both science and faith together in one brain, heart, mind, and soul.
So did Einstein.
You know, right? So what gives? What gives with this radical turning away of scientific doctrine to embrace the new Dark Ages? That's my underlying question this morning. That is what I got to somewhere around 5 o'clock as I was writing my essay. I want to scream that from the street corners today. Okay. But I won't. I will just, in fact, use this microphone, and I will say, good morning, Brian. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, sorry for falling off there.
Watch out. The earth is round. You won't fall off.
Oh, really? God, I thought that.
Not according to some of these folks.
If I went far enough over the Pacific Ocean, I'd find this bloody great waterfall. Anyway.
There be dragons. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, I was going to say, a lot of people don't know this, but at least two members of the SCOTUS, as we call them, you know, the Supreme Court, Thomas and Scalia, are members of Opus Dei, which is that secretive Catholic elitist organization. You know, that should have debarred them from becoming judges to start with, because their loyalty is to the church and its declamations, not to the, you know, the populist good. So that's one little thing I wanted to throw into the mix. And of course, the, you know, Kennedy and the others are pretty much Catholic holy rollers too. So I don't think you're going to get a lot of luck in things like, you know, protection of Roe versus Wade from that crowd. However,
I don't think we've really been counting on it.
Yeah, well, also, I'm a recovering Catholic too, but I'll let that go. I was most impressed. I got involved with the tribes when I first came back to Oregon, and I was most impressed by the Sweat Lodge and their concept that, you know, the earth is our mother, the grandfather is our son, and God is the great unknowable. And I really was, and that's been my own spiritual path since, and I'll be damned if I let anybody tell me, you know, dictate to me what else I should believe. I don't know if anybody's ever been through a sweat lodge ceremony, but by golly, you know, you really see things. and it's a wonderful feeling afterwards, but you don't want to eat or drink or drive before or after either. It's quite something. And I really that turned me around in a spiritual way. So that's my 10 cents worth. And mitakwiyasin. Bye.
Mitakwiyasin.
So here's the oath of office for the Supreme Court Justice. I fill in the blank.
I was just gonna say even the phone lines are apoplectic this morning.
I fill in the blank. Do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, the Constitution of the United States, and that I will bear the faith and allegiance of the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter. So help me, God.
Yeah. Yeah. What about that? Now, I personally, I don't go so far as to say if you are the member of any particular whateverness in faith,
that sort of,
one should not be, a member of the Supreme Court, though one would firmly hope, such a weak word in this, expect, demand, that those taking the oath of office, in fact, to prioritize in just that way. I'm just saying,
found that it was a contradictory, that your religious practices were contradictory to the oath of office you have to take, you would, what's the word? I'm sorry, I'm losing the word. But anyway, you would decline recuse yourself and decline the invitation.
Decline the invitation. I like that. Scotus as a tea party. So please do, dear listeners, if you use Facebook, you can like us there. You can find us as Positively Revolting. That's facebook.com/positivelyrevolting. You can also follow us in the Twitterverse at Positive Revolt. You can email us by emailing positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We do enjoy keeping the conversation going all week. We find fascinating things to post. Lynn, the queen of fascinating,
I wouldn't go that far, but
Facebook
thank you.
Posts. You find great stuff, Lynn.
Well,
you do.
I have
I'm just
a
saying.
Bunch of credit bunch where of credit's wacky due. Friends on the Facebook who.
Well, you're a nice collator. So we put it all out for you on the Positively Revolting page for your perusal, and so that we can, in fact, keep the public discussion going throughout the week, because once a week is not enough. Do like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Positive Revolt so that we can share important and vital information. There's a lot of stuff that breaks every day, especially, it seems, around theocracy, especially when it comes to police violence, especially when it comes to racism. I am fine, and the war against women. We are finding no shortage of postings to get out there, information that vitally affect all of these areas. And really, when you look at them together, it's a very bleak picture. That is, we are in an urgent situation. And we really are needing to keep each other informed and aware so that we can be responsive and responsible to co-create a better future for ourselves and our world.
Brings back the old phrase, knowledge is power.
Indeed. Good morning, Miriam. You're on the air.
Ani and Lynn, I am provoked to call this morning.
Good.
Being a white woman living here in North Portland, I am surrounded by unbelievable white aristocracy, if you are even so much as a renter, let alone anything other than that, so go on from there. I think that this subject that you're talking about is simply a consequence from the rippling effect of, I wonder if these people, Orthodox religious people are feeling the same way about these corporations and these developers that are the ones that are actually changing the world around us that we have no control over, and so we take it out amongst ourselves once again. Look around. There's been a house put in our block that was a yard. I mean, they're within 6 inches now,
yeah,
of the house next to them. They're also the tallest house on the block. They look down on my window two houses away. I don't see the sky anymore. These are white people. They're not from another country, but they're not from this city either. Don't care, and nobody cares when they move into a new area what any of the previous protocols were. They don't even care, let alone people, about nature, let alone people. There's no problem. Now you don't just have one front porch light on. There's three. Okay, there's a runway across from me, yeah. A runway of lights. There's no kind of consideration.
So I'm gonna jump in.
In general, let alone anybody that's any more different than that. I'm a white person living in a block full of white people.
Miriam, I get you. I'm going to jump in for a second. And what I'm hearing is that you're feeling like there's a whole lot of tension. There's overcrowding. There's a changing value in your immediate neighborhood, and that these things are adding up to a situation where you feel a complete lack of control over your future as a resident in your neighborhood.
No. I'm not saying that as
okay.
much as I'm saying all of us collectively have less control over all these changes going on around us.
Sure.
And what it just feels awful. I mean, the buildings that are going up.
But how does this relate to theocracy, Miriam?
Well, that's just an extension of this of non-tolerance, because you know you don't even have the empty corner lot to play in or for your kids
right.
to play in, and you got all these other people moving in on top of it.
There's a document in the city. It's called Portland 2020, the 2020 plan.
Mm-hmm.
This was something that neighborhood coalitions and the city worked through the 80s and 90s.
I remember the 90s.
And I remember the 80s. And it's actually a plan that looks at infill to keep the urban growth boundaries where they are so that we don't lose more farmland and rural areas surrounding the city and
well
that we
aware.
Deal mm-hmm. with population growth. I sat on some of those neighborhood councils. I'm a little horrified.
So did I.
In this moment to see how it plays out. But in fact, I remember thinking urban density was a damn good idea.
I know, I did too.
So.
Oh, but they didn't tell you that they were going to put up McMansions.
Okay. But I got to say,
no
I'm getting back to our topic.
Whatsoever for the neighborhood, Miriam? The existing neighborhood.
Miriam, I get
that?
You. We'll do another program on gentrification and urban
but
growth and all of that. But
check out the Renters Assembly.
We're talking about theocracy specifically this morning.
But I'm just saying that that's another, it's a ripple effect
sure.
of this whole anxiety, this whole level of, it's not just the infill. There's places where it's done beautifully. I'm talking about the disrespectful kind, where it's McMansion.
Yeah.
It covers the
okay, but that's
lot.
Still we're off
we
topic, Miriam, and we're going to let you go.
And we,
oh,
but
okay,
we appreciate
well, back to theocracy. I get it.
We do appreciate, and I do share a lot of that
part
same
of this
concern.
Cause, the cause of it all.
Okay, take good
so
care.
Bye bye.
All right, bye bye. And you know, I want to thank the Kootenai County Republican group. For actually rejecting the resolution that some of their members brought forth last month to declare Idaho a Christian state. Two-thirds of the members of the Kootenai County Republicans voted not to support that resolution, tabling the idea, somehow or another not killing it. I don't know the proceedings of that particular meeting, but I find that a little like, and the fact that two-thirds voted against it means, oh, I don't know, a third either voted for it or stood aside.
Right.
And I find that frightening. But I thank them overall for rejecting, or at least tabling.
Baby steps, I guess.
The proposal to declare Idaho a Christian state. Okay.
You know, there's the Indy Star, which is the paper that I took the article from about the lovely Governor Mike Pence's Freedom of Religion Act. And, you know, they have there's little feeder stories on the side. And here's the three that are on the side there about Indiana looks to limit religious freedom damage. That's good. Dad mistakenly eats daughter's pop brownies and fears stroke. And San Francisco joins those planning to boycott Indiana. That's what I'm saying. Thank you, at least, for putting a little humor in.
Oh, God. All right. And good morning, Jim. Over to you. You're on the air.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to offer a brief point of interest in regards to the use of religion by persons in government. And the fact is that the value of religious indoctrination to those who seek to maintain power lies in authoritarian conditioning. Authoritarian conditioning is a fact in all the major religions, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and it's worth consideration. I'll leave it with that. Thank you.
I think that that is absolutely worth consideration.
Got a point there.
There's so much, so much. We have laws. You know, there's, of course, I always want to call it the Holly Hobby Law.
Holly Hunter Law?
No. Hobby Lobby decision. It's not the Holly Hobby Law. It's the Hobby Lobby decision. Okay, fine. You know, there sort of got us thinking down this road last year. We also, though, now looking for notes. Where did they go? Why did I start this without my notes in front of me? But to say that, again, there is a state that is, there's consideration that women could, say, be fired
because they'd had an abortion
and their employer does not believe that this is a moral act. I'm now looking for the state that came from, but I'll find it and fill you in just a moment. It's, again, this is beyond troubling. This is where theocracy meets the war on women, meets absolute social control. This is war on the workers. This is really bad stuff. And it's happening around us. It's happening today. People go, but that's so extreme. That would never fly. It does. These things do fly. So it's important, again, to be ever vigilant and to really check it out. Check out what's happening in the state legislatures around us. Certainly check out what's happening in our own state legislature, our counties, our cities. I mentioned earlier that there's a sort of mega church leader in Louisiana that brought together and trained 1,000 pastors to run for office because, as he said, it is our appointed time of God. And those 1,000 people are supposed to take root across the nation Republican Louisiana governor. I'm sorry, not mega church leader, Republican Louisiana governor.
Same difference.
It's so hard to tell. I didn't have my glasses on. Wrote a letter to 100,000 pastors endorsing the event that is to train the men and women of Issachar. This is a reference to 1 Chronicles 12:32, which hails the tribal leaders from Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, 200 chiefs with all of their relatives under their command. Jindal wrote, "There is a great need for the kind of leaders we read about in the Old Testament, the men of Issachar. We need such men and women of wisdom today who will accept the challenge to restore our Judeo-Christian heritage in America." This is a flippin' governor, right? All right. With that, let's go ahead and take Linda's call. Good morning, Linda. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. When you're talking about theocracy and how it affects people, it really hits home with me. I am a lesbian, and religion and theocracy has not been kind to me.
Uh-huh.
And I realize that a lot of people of religion think that me and my kind are the antichrist almost, or are to blame for all the wrongs in society.
You're going to completely ruin marriage.
And talk about the dark ages. They sound like they think that this is a new thing that we've made up.
Right.
And they totally disregard that homosexuality has been with us since the beginning of time.
Yes.
And a certain number of people have that predisposition. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's a natural part of nature. And, you know, just talk about dark ages.
Absolutely. Again, it's the turning away of scientific basis.
Yeah, I was in the Lutheran church yesterday because I had a conference there connected with my work in their room, and I thought Lutheran churches were pretty liberal mostly.
It depends.
And I almost went and asked them if they were an open and affirming congregation in their office. But
probably not.
Then I went to their literature, and they have this Christian News Northwest newspaper, and I opened it up, and it's defending people who have refused to make wedding cakes or florists to refuse services to same-sex couples.
Sure.
And, you know, and I am a Christian, and I have found United Church of Christ, and they're very open and affirming.
Yes,
and,
they are.
And it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found a church where I can join back into the traditions that I was raised in the Baptist church, and not feel...
And you can dance.
Like a hypocrite or an outcast.
I bet United Church of Christ lets you dance.
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
They do.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, isn't it? That there are so many different sects of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, again, to each their own, right? Religious
Correct.
Freedom means exactly that.
Correct.
And the fact that
there are some... Not if you're Governor Mike Pence.
Right, and the fact that there are some governors... Bobby Jindal, Mike Pence, who seem to believe otherwise. It's flabbergasting.
Well, the irony, here's one big irony here, that they are taking religious freedom, the actual concept of religious freedom, to try to erode it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And it's like if their religion said they are not to serve people of color, and, you know, would they get by with not serving a person of color now?
Right, right.
Because their religion says they shouldn't.
If their religion says that they shouldn't serve.
Right.
Any,
but they're supposed to get by group. With not serving me because they don't agree with me being a lesbian.
Right.
Just outrageous.
It's... And really anti-American at its core.
Yes.
Or at least anti-constitutional.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what America was founded on. But that's another story.
Thank you very much
for your call this morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
You are so welcome.
So in several states, this is an article from Alternet published earlier this week. In several states, Republican lawmakers are sponsoring bills that would allow employers to use religious liberty as an excuse to do whatever they want, including discriminate against customers or employees on the basis of religion. Georgia's version of this religious liberty bill, again, doublespeak, religious liberty bill, has already passed the state Senate, but is running into trouble in the House, where even the Speaker, who is a Republican, expressed criticism about the legislation. Progressive activists in the state are leaving nothing to chance, realizing that if the bill passes, the state could see a new wave of discrimination similar to Jim Crow-style restrictions on African Americans. Some women's organizations are particularly concerned that right-wing employers could, for example, fire women who have had abortions. Last Monday, earlier this week, four women, Megan Harrison, Lorraine Fontana, Emmett Stitt, and Jessica Resnick, sought an audience with the bill's chief Senate sponsor, Republican Josh McCoon. But not only were the four women denied a meeting with McCoon, they were arrested and removed from the Capitol. So that article is from Alternet. There's so much more to be read. There's so much more to be discussed. Please do follow us on Twitter, Positive Revolt, and on Facebook, as we'll be discussing more throughout the week. And we want you to be with us. Be here again next week, 8 o'clock on Friday morning, as once again, we are positively revolting.
As ever.
Closing thoughts, Lynn?
Think when you read these things. And have fun with your own spirituality. Go out there in the sunshine.
And enjoy the universe.
And hug a tree.
Or not. As you see fit. Okay. And we're out. Thanks very much for joining us. Be positively revolting, won't you?
There comes a time when every second, every day.
Did you know that KBOO's daily evening newscast is produced by a team of volunteers right here in our Portland studios? If you've got some extra time and would like to get free training in radio news production, come on down to the studio and get involved. Did you know that KBOO's daily evening newscast is produced by a team of volunteers right here in our Portland studios?
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for...